Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Here in Hebrews chapter number 6, in verse number 13 and 14, this is the promise that he's referring to. I'm going to bless you. Because you have faith, Abraham, I'm going to do great things through you. And then look in verse number 15. And so, I circled that in my Bible this week. If you see my Bible, you couldn't read nothing in my Bible. I dread getting a new Bible. I do. Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. Literally, my pages are falling apart. I got my front page. I got this paper clip because everything... my pages are falling out of my Bible. But I have so many notes in here, I could never replace them. I wish years ago I'd done things differently, but I didn't know. But anyway, I started. Anyway, long story short, get back to Hebrews. I don't even know where I was going. That's my old age. Where was I going with that? Oh, and so. I'm glad y'all are listening. The word, the and so, I had that circled in my Bible. Those two words are tremendous. We read and we just keep reading. But don't miss that. It connects the truth set forth in verses 13 and 14. Connecting them to verse number 15. The fact is that we see that there's the blessings. Surely I will bless thee and I will multiply. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham patiently endured from the time God appeared unto him in Genesis 22 and promised him that until the day he died at the ripe old age of 175. The Bible says that, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained that promise. He saw that promised son. Only he'd live, all the things, the nations begin to multiply. Ultimately, Abraham will see the ultimate fulfillment of that in the future. But we see in Scripture that he patiently endured, verse number 16. For men verily swear by the greater an oath, for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. What does that mean? Simply, it's simple that when a witness takes an oath in a courtroom, he is confronted with these words. You hear it all the time. So help me God. Why is that so important? Well, then we can call on the greater God to witness for the lesser, us. So help me God. That's what he talks about here in verse number 16. That for men verily swear by the greater. That's why he, of course, says, so help me God. And an oath for confirmation to an end, them an end of all strife. In other words, so help me God, this is the truth. He contrasts that in verse number 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. No one is greater than God. So he swore by himself. Let that sink in. That's why he said he swore by himself, because there's none greater. There's none greater. There's two words in this one verse, a promise and an oath. They're two different words, a promise and an oath. His word, his promise, is enough. Amen? His promise is enough. But he added to his promise his oath to make it doubly sure. And the reason he did that was not for him, but for them. Not for him, but for us. God's word is true. We're going to read about that. It's impossible for God to lie. But we see not only he didn't make a promise, he made an oath, which is even stronger than a promise. Why did he do that? Again, it's not for himself. It's for us as weak, carnal believers who sometimes doubt God. Not only did he promise, I double dog dare you. You ever heard that before? I dare you. I double dog dare you. Well, it's kind of a carnal thing. No, I promise. I double dog promise you. There's none greater. He couldn't swear no greater than himself. No, I promise. I make this oath. And it's not going to be broken. Interesting. And then in verse number 18, that by two immutable things, the word immutable, we looked at that earlier. It means unchangeable and unalterable. God, we know, is immutable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. God never changes. Aren't you glad about that? By the way, the plan of salvation has never changed. It's always been, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That was the same in the Old Testament. That same way in the New Testament. People were not saved differently in the Old Testament as they were in the New Testament. It was always by faith. Why? Because God is immutable. But we look in verse number 18. But by two immutable things, what's the two immutable things? His promise and his oath. It's unchangeable. He goes back to that. By these two immutable things, it's unchanging, it's unalterable. By these two immutable things, that promise and the oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Again, that word impossible is the same word, same thing we get back in. Look in verse number 4, chapter number 6. It's that same word. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, the word enlightened means they were made to see, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, they've experienced it. Remember, we talked about that last week. And we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world. It's impossible for them to come back. In other words, it's not because that God won't receive them. It's because they won't come back. Not that they could not, but they would not. So we see this word impossible. It means it's unable to be done. It ain't happening. And excuse us, it ain't politically correct, but as a kid we used to say this all the time. No way, Jose. It ain't happening. It's impossible for God to lie. Just as surely as God is God, God cannot lie. Just as surely as God cannot die, God will keep his word. It's immutable. It's impossible for God to lie. Then because of that, why is that so important to us? That we might have a strong consolation. That the word consolation means a great encouragement. You remember, there's a lot of pressures in life that we're a blessed people. We fuss and complain here in America because of this and that. We have no idea what these people went through 2,000 years ago. It was tough being a believer back then. Sometimes you would have been a lighted lamppost. Remember that. Get Christians and tie them to a lamppost and set them on fire. Just because you're a Christian and we think we got it rough. Feed them to the lions, you know, all these other things that happened. And because a preacher hurt my feelings, I ain't going back to church. We really got it bad, don't we? We got it rough. We got so tough living here in America, and we whine. We know nothing of persecution. Let me just say this, and I love all of y'all, and I'm talking to me. We're a bunch of weak-kneed, spineless, baby toast believers. For the most part.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church to hear Dr. Phil Stringer. He'll be a special guest speaker this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. You won't want to miss Dr. Phil Stringer. Well, from now until tomorrow, may May God bless you richly, is our prayer.